This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. I would like to congratulate the Hufaz and the congregation that both recited and listened to the Quran Kareem in the state of wudu and in the state of consecrated prayer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this from them. May Allah ta'ala accept it from them and from our teachers and our teachers' teachers in an unbroken chain to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This Salatul Taraweeh is a great blessing and is a great vehicle of madad from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This Salatul Taraweeh was something that was inaugurated in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you will remember, the companions prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 3 days. And then afterward, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cut the congregation out of fear that it would become fard, it would become an obligation on the ummah. But he didn't stop people from praying. He just said, pray separately on your own. Then after he left sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from this world, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because he understood the sunnah and he understood what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did and why he did it, he gathered the congregation again. Why? Because that danger of it becoming fard had not passed with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passing from this world. And no one from the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu contested it. None of them contested him about it. All of them joined, all of them endorsed it. Where does this khatam of the Quran come from? It's narrated in Sahih Hadith that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he would read the Quran to him in the month of Ramadan, whatever had been revealed up until that point. And in the last year of his Mubarak life sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Jibreel came and he read it twice. This is a noble sunnah. It didn't originate in this world. Rather, it's also a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down from the heavens, from above this world that we live in. And with it came an immense amount of barakah. You and I live in a time where people no longer have shauq, no longer have longing for these things anymore. This era is an era in which you'll find many people who are majnoon, but you'll find very few people who are majzoob. If you were to translate both terms, both expressions, majnoon and majzoob, into English, a person could perhaps say that both of them mean the same thing. They mean a person is crazy. But there's a world of difference between them. The majnoon person is the one who doesn't know that 2 plus 2 equals 4 anymore. The majnoon person is the one who walks into the places where he should be wearing clothes without clothes on, and walks into the places where he shouldn't be wearing clothes with his clothes on. The person who, is cautious where he can be relaxed, and the person who's relaxed where he should be cautious. The person who's on guard when he's safe, and the person who's heedless when he's in danger. Whereas the majzoob person is what? The person who their tawajjuh has turned toward Allah Ta'ala with such intensity, they forget all of the other things that the people who are thinking about this dunya usually think about. So mashallah, as time goes on, you'll see the number of majadib decreases and the intensity of their jazb decreases. What does jazb mean? Right? Anyone know, where's anyone, Darsh Nizami students here? Mashallah, we have Khalil Academy guys and we have some people at the desks up top. Anyone raise your hand, who's studying right now? Anyone? Yeah. What's the Arabic word for gravity? Did they teach you in the Hidayah? You didn't learn Newtonian physics in Shadr al-Aqaid or anything? No? The word for gravity in Arabic is jadhibiya. Jadhb means for something to absorb or attract something. So jadhb, a person who enters into a state of jadhb. This is an ecstatic state. This is a state in which a person, their ruhani and spiritual faculty overwhelms their physical faculty to such a point where they now, their spiritual faculty becomes dominant over their physical faculty. Jazb is what allowed the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, to recite and read the Quran and to enter the prayer and to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and forget their pain, forget their suffering. That from amongst them there are those who had their legs amputated and they didn't need anesthetic. Why? Because they were in a state of jazb. It was the state that allowed them to rush into battle with such ferocity against people who were trained, well-armed, outnumbering them, outgunning them, outmanning them, out-strategizing them, and still make it through and break through the enemy ranks in such a way that the enemy was the one who feared them rather than the other way around, which would have been what a person would have expected by the conventional wisdom of this dunya. Jazb is what made the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, their armies march, a complete day's march when a person only has one date to eat. And jazb is what makes the companions march when even that date runs out. This is something that there's discussions about these things in the books of tasawwuf. In tasawwuf, when talking about the spiritual path, there are complementary states. They're opposite of one another, and both states are meritorious, and both of them should be cultivated. So the opposite state of jazb is what? Is sahm, is being sober. There's sobriety and there's ecstaticness, exuberance. A person must cultivate both of them, but every person will have one of these two dominant in them. Very few people will have the tawfiq of being able to balance them out. What I say is that you shouldn't be a madzub all the time, that you love the Qur'an so much that you can't get to a job interview properly. You should love the Qur'an that much. But if you get to that point where it's starting to mess with your responsibilities in the dunya, you also have to learn how to control it. I'm not saying to cultivate jazb so much that it should be out of control. Just like a person shouldn't be so sober that they no longer have any shawq to hear, they no longer have any desire or longing to hear the Qur'an, they no longer have any desire or longing to stand in prayer, they no longer have any desire or longing to hear the adhan, they no longer have any desire or longing to fast in the month of Ramadan, but they only do it, they're so sober that they only do it because it's abstract, they know it's some sort of commandment from the Lord, but they no longer have any desire for them, for those things. The sunnah is what to put these things in balance. The reason I'm talking about jazb more than I'm talking about sahu right now, about ecstasy and exuberance more than I'm talking about sobriety, is because we live in an age where people, their jazb has become so weak for all things spiritual that you have people who have absolutely no longing and no desire for anything good, anything spiritual, anything related to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they masquerade around as if it's sobriety. There's a difference between being sober and there's a difference between dead. There's a difference between being sober and there's a difference between being dead. Take these moments. There's a time for everything. There's a time for everything. This is the time that you should feel the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill your heart. I know in this crowd, there are good people. Whoever is here is a good person. At the same time, I know also in this crowd there are sinners. There's somebody who's addicted to something haram. There's somebody who's addicted to eating something haram. There's something addicted to drinking something haram. Someone addicted to listening to something haram. Someone addicted to watching something haram. Someone addicted to somebody who is haram for them. And if there are people who are not, at some point or another, that was there. This night, this Mubarak night, in the last 10 nights, the odd nights, the 27th night, the night of the Khatam, the night of Dua. This night, there's an appropriate thing for every time, there's an appropriate season for all things, just like you're not going to go snowboarding in July. Just like if you get married and you're newly wed, on your wedding night, you take your bride by the hand. Sisters, your husband takes you by the hand and you look at each other's eyes and you don't say, hey, you know, if we don't get along and we get divorced, do you want half the house or should I just pay you? That's not the time for that discussion. That's the time to what? Sit and think about how you're going to be happy together. There's no guarantee that it'll happen, but no bother. This is the time that you should think about what? How you're going to be happy together. Just like that, this night is the thing that you should think about how you're going to be happy together. Not with your bride, mashallah, and or your groom, for the sisters who are listening, mashallah, Imam Saab, Mufti Saab, he made such a beautiful dua, mashallah, that the people who are looking for someone, that they get what they're looking for. Ameen, that's done, right? Put that aside now for the rest of the night. This is the night that you remember your love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shaitan that disrupts that process, Allah ta'ala locked him up. Your own laziness, my own laziness, that disrupts that process, our own nafs that we can't blame the shaitan about, which is really depressing, actually. That's one depressing aspect of Ramadan, is you realize how much of a khabis your nafs is. If you're not one of those guys, please make dua for me. I mean it, seriously. But for the rest of us, you realize that it's a depressing realization. Allah ta'ala, tanazzal al-mala'ikatu wal-ruhu fiha bi'idni rabbihim min kulli amr. Allah ta'ala sent the presence of the angels and the arwah from the Hadiratul Quds. Why? So as to what? Incite a person that if the heart even has a little bit of life in it, a little bit of life in it, that life also will be moved on this night, despite yourself. Just like shaitan will draw a person to evil, despite their lack of desire of doing evil, on nights like this, the sacred presence of the Lord, the Sakina comes down, the angels and the arwah from the Mala'ul A'la come now to this place, which is otherwise bereft, bereft of nur and bereft of barakah, to witness the barakah Allah Ta'ala put over here. Because what? It's actually worth, it's worth taking a road trip from Jannah to come to this place on Mubarak nights like this because of how much khair Allah Ta'ala put in it. So open your heart up and look at the beauty of a night like this and say, Ya Allah, you're so beautiful and I have like nothing to give you. And you're so forgiving and merciful and I don't deserve your mercy. But you literally revealed the surah saying that tonight you're going to give all to everybody who asks. In nights like this, you give to everybody who asks. In nights like this, even if I myself am a complete khabis and like not deserving of anything, look how full the masjid was. At least somebody or another is a pious person in the gathering. And you said about the people who make your dhikr, Ya Allah, هُمُ الْقَوْمُ لَا يَشْقَى بِهِمْ جَلِيسُهُمْ. They are such a people, the one, even the one who keeps their company, that person will never be wretched. For this we praise you and we enjoy it. Just like, mashallah, you guys had your kunfis and your gulab jamans and laddus and mitai and all this other stuff. This is the time to enjoy this right now. Cultivate that ability inside of your heart to enjoy it. The adab of jazb are what? The hal when it comes down. Right? People say, like, mashallah, the imams and the mashayikh, they say stuff in Urdu a lot. And people who've been like listening to bayans all the time, they kind of like get from context what they kind of mean, but they don't know exactly what those words mean. Say, bra faiz hasil hua. What is faiz? What is faiz? P-H-A-S-E? Is it trigonometry? Is it engineering? Right? The faith with the bad, it's not faith in Arabic, right? Fala yafidu is for something to outflow, to pour out. Something, the effluence of something, like a river flows. Rahmatta darya ilahi. Jahar waqt vagda tera. Ek katra bakhshe menu te gal ban jaye mera. I know you guys are not Punjabi speaking, at least except for a few of you, the rest of Mashal Gujarati community and other people may not even know Urdu or whatever, right? But these are the ash'ar of the ma'rifah of Allah Ta'ala. In every language of the Muslims we have it. That Mia Muhammad Bakshi said that your, the river of your mercy, my Lord, that is constantly flowing at all times. If even one splash of it, one like spray, like, you know, you stand at the riverbank and the water kind of hits a rock and just jumps off like a drop of water. So that if even one drop of it like jumps off and hits me, then everything I ever wanted, everything I ever wanted, everything I ever hoped for, everything I ever dreamed, I got it. Now imagine, right? Ramadana imana wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. Right? I cannot promise you tonight's Laylatul Qadr, how am I supposed to know? But the hadith says specifically what? The person who stands the nights of Ramadan in prayer. Meaning what? Taraweeh. Right? Taraweeh. You stood, you prayed your taraweeh, mashallah, imam read from like, wa duha wa layli idha saja. It wasn't even that difficult. You stood in faith, and what ihtisab? What does ihtisab mean? Expectation. Now, it's not good adab with Allah Ta'ala from one point of view for a person to have expectation, like, you owe me. But in some sense, Allah Ta'ala wants you to want it from Him. Because if you didn't trust He was going to give it to you, then you, it's like as if you don't trust Allah Ta'ala, like He's like, what, He's not going to fulfill His word? You're like, oh yeah, but maybe there's something wrong in my intention, maybe I didn't do this right. Okay, yeah, maybe you didn't do 100 things right. Maybe your wudu wasn't proper, maybe your salat wasn't proper, maybe you thought about this, maybe you thought of that. But nobody came to the masjid and say, yes, I'm just on the way to rob a bank and I had to use the bathroom, right? People came in general for something good, right? The ihtisab, you made it. What is the reward for standing in the taraweeh? Right in the third part of the hadith, in Maqam Laylatul Qadr, Imam al-Ihtisab al-Ghufra lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi, that the person who stands on the Laylatul Qadr in faith and in expectation, in good hope and expectation of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of their sins that came from before, all of them will be forgiven. So if you have expectation, you should also have some good hope. You should have iman also in your heart that I've been forgiven. Allah Ta'ala is the one who's not like His creation. Someone says, well, I'm a bad person. The more khabis you are, the greater Allah Ta'ala is for forgiving you. Is Allah greater or less great? So that means the worse you feel about all the dumb things you've done, the worse I feel about all the dumb things I've done. And I've done a lot of very dumb things in my life. That's the worse you feel, the greater Allah Ta'ala is by that you believe He is by forgiving you. This is also part of the ma'rifah of Allah Ta'ala. Now for the rest of the night, cultivate this jazb. This is the time that it should, these nights like this are times that they should overpower your sahud, your sobriety. When you have a job interview, right? Don't be like, I'm going to wear my turban and I'm going to wear my jubbah or whatever, unless you're like interviewing to be imam in a masjid or something, right? Go ahead, as long as you're covered your awrah, wear whatever suit and tie or whatever you need to for your job interview. Right? Don't let the jazb overpower you, otherwise you'll be unemployed. I don't know, in America, it's not a socialist country like Canada is, so we don't get benefits, right? I don't know, maybe you guys, it's okay if you're unemployed, like a rainbow color sock guy who's going to send you a check every year, every month or whatever. But for us, you're high and dry, you don't get anything. If you have to, if you're way too much and your cholesterol is too high, right? Then go ahead and cut your diet, not because you're fasting or whatever, but for some very dunyawi purpose, because your sobriety tells you have to take care of these things in this world. But those thoughts, this is not the night for those thoughts. And if you want to cultivate the state of jazb, you have to look for when and where the hal comes down, when and where the faith of Allah Ta'ala comes down. The outflowing of Allah Ta'ala's grace is not water. It's not like a dam broken, a river will come and flood you with physical water. It's like that, but with what? With the barakat and rahmat that Allah Ta'ala gives, the fadl that Allah Ta'ala gives, the divine grace that Allah Ta'ala gives, those things that Allah Ta'ala gives a person that he loves. Those things that make a person's sabr increase, those things that make a person's spiritual power increase, those things that make a person's dunya increase, and those things, more importantly than that make a person's akhirah increase. How do you cultivate that? How do you cultivate that? How do you find where the hal is going to come from? How do you cultivate where the faith is going to come from if all of this talk is kind of alien? Many of us, mashallah, are very accustomed to it, so I apologize if I'm repeating something that you already know about. But maybe there are some people amongst us that we could use the reminder, and maybe there are some people who've never thought of this before. The three conditions, like we were discussing, making mudhakar with the brothers from before, for the faith to come, for the hal to come down on a place, is what? Zaman, makan, ikhwan. It has to be a mubarak time. It has to be the right time, and it has to be a mubarak time. Allah Ta'ala made a season for all things. Allah Ta'ala made a time, a month for everything. Allah Ta'ala made an hour for all things. Allah Ta'ala made a minute and a second and a moment for all things. If you see a child playing with fire or a really sharp knife, that's a time to be scared. It's okay, it's appropriate actually. If you're on the eve of battle and you look at the enemy, that's not a good time to be scared. The danger actually in the eve of battle may actually be even more than the danger that's there with like a kid playing with a knife or with a pair of matches or whatever. But one of them, it's appropriate to be afraid, and the other one, it's not appropriate to be afraid at that time. If you want to, for example, pray all night, it's more appropriate to do so in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, in the month of Ramadan, while you're at Hajj, while you're in I'tikaf. It's appropriate to do those things. Whereas perhaps, for example, like if you're already chronically fatigued and you have to go to work tomorrow and it's like the middle of, like Jamad al-Ula or something, it may not be appropriate at that time. At that time, it may actually be better for you to sleep. So what's the first condition for the faith to come down? It has to be the time, the correct time for it. What are the times that the faith comes down? The month of Ramadan, right? The sacred Ashhur al-Hurum, right? The sacred days, the Eidain, the two nights of the Eidain, the days of the Eidain, right? What are the times of faith? The hour of Jumu'ah, the day of Jumu'ah. These are the times that you should look for the faith. You should look for the hal in these times. You should seek it out, search for it in these times. There are also times that are personal to you, maybe other than somebody else, depending on what your circumstances are in your life. What's a time that's personal that may not be shared by two people? And عند منكسرتي قلوبهم. It's narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah Ta'ala said, "You will find me with the ones who have a broken heart." Obviously, you guys are pious people, so you don't have a girlfriend. Maybe someone did at some point, but they've already made tawbah for that, right? So you wanted to propose marriage to a girl, and she completely like broke your heart. Or vice versa, for the sisters listening, that a brother completely, not a brother, because you're not going to marry a brother. Obviously, not everyone's your brother. It's important to remember that, by the way. In fact, most people aren't your brother at all. But the point is that you wanted to marry a man, and he completely like shattered your expectations and blew you off, and you feel like horrible. You wanted something so bad, you failed the test that you thought you would pass. You studied so hard for it. You wanted a job. People texting me, I wanted to buy this house, somebody else swooped in and made an offer before I could send mine in, and I lost it. It's okay. It's a sign you were meant to live in that house, inshallah. If it's meant for you, you'll get it one day. If not, it wasn't meant for you. It wasn't meant for you. Wallah, we mean it. I mean it. If it's meant for you, you'll get it one day. So many stories we can tell, such a short amount of time. This night is not about story time. I want to kind of get to a point and then give people time to do what's of more benefit in a night like this. But the point is there are certain times, there are certain times that are personal. They're not necessarily on the calendar, like on the Islamic calendar or whatever, right? They're personal times for you, that those are the times that the hal will come to a person. When a person is completely at their wit's end, you've tried everything, and you're completely at your wit's end, then you turn to Allah Ta'ala in prayer, you'll see this is the time the faith comes to you. وَزُلْزِلُ حَتَّى يَقُولُ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَسْرُ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Right? The people before you, the Anbiya and the people with them before you, were shaken to the point where they asked in exasperation, when will the help of Allah Ta'ala? Even the most people with the most amount of iman, they asked in exasperation, when will the help of Allah Ta'ala come? That's the point at which the help of Allah Ta'ala is qareeb, it's nearby. When is a Mubarak time that you're going to receive faith? Remember this. When the jig is up and you're almost gone from this world, you know that the clock is, the hope is done, and you're dying, don't waste that moment. That's the time 100% for jazm, right? That's the time you're like on that time, at that moment, you're like a bride you've come to your wedding day. I'm saying this to the brothers, the sisters can understand. I'm saying this to the brothers, think about that. It's interesting, in the Muslim world, I'm not saying this is a sunnah, this is a cultural practice of the Muslims. I'm not commenting about it, that it has any sort of like standing in fiqh or whatever, I'm not commenting about this. But oftentimes what happens, the mashayikh who passed away in the past, people would go and remember them, or go make dua at their graves to Allah Ta'ala for them on the anniversaries of their deaths. This is a thing, it's the Muslim world, a lot of it happens over there. I'm not telling you to do it or not or whatever. I'm just saying this is a thing that happens. You know what the word they give for the death anniversary of the mashayikh is in the Persianate Islamic lands? They call it urs. What does urs mean in Arabic? You don't know? Urs, what does urs mean in Arabic? It's like a wedding. It's like a wedding. Why? Because the understanding, which is very much a sound understanding of Islam. Again, whether you want to go and like celebrate an urs or not, I'm not talking about that right now. But the understanding is what? Is that this is a time of farah, this is a time of great happiness. Why? Because the person who Allah Ta'ala sent to this world, you only had one job. Really, you only had one job, is to have iman and die on it. All the rest of it, no matter how bad you bleeped everything up, it can be fixed. It will be, a day will come, it will be fixed. But this is what? You only had one job. Imagine you only had one job. Allah Ta'ala, not your boss, not your parents, not your mamu, cha-cha, right? No. Allah Ta'ala sent you with only one job, and you're like, you know what? The end is near. You see the light up, and I might actually pull through, I'm actually going to pull this off. This might actually work for me. This is a time of immense faith. If you get to that moment, don't remember despair and despondency. Remember what? Remember Allah Ta'ala and push down your suffering, push down your sobriety and let the jazb come out outside of you that this is the day I'm going to go to Allah Ta'ala. I may not be perfect, I'm definitely far from perfect, but at least I have this La Ilaha Illallah with me. Let that well up and pass from this world in that state. In that the state of not majnoon, not being majnoon, but being majzoob. So like that, this is a long discussion, inshallah, but I'm saying that some of the moments that the faith comes, it's not going to be necessarily like on the calendar. It will be for yourself personally. Read the books of the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read the Riyadh al-Salihin, sit around when they read the ta'aleem of Riyadh al-Salihin. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned all of these things to the Ummah. He mentioned all of these things to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He was the one who taught us the adab of how to talk to Allah Ta'ala, how to deal with Allah Ta'ala. Learn all of these things. When are the uqat, when are the azmina, the hal coming down, the faith coming down. The second is the correct makan. Now tell me, are you supposed to read the Quran in the bathroom? No. Now, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, it's very interesting, is narrated that he asked, Ya Allah, أَقَرِيبٌ أَنْتَ فَأُنَاجِيكَ أُبَعِيدٌ أَنْتَ فَأُنَادِيكَ قَالَ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ أَنَا جَلِيسُ مَنْ ذَكَرَنِي. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked Allah Ta'ala, are you nearby that when I make dua that I shouldn't speak in a very low voice? Or are you far away so that I should shout out? Why would Allah be close? Because Allah Ta'ala hu ma'akum ayna ma kuntum. Why would Allah Ta'ala be far away? Because laysa kamithlihi shay. Both of these realities, there's some portion of them with you, between you and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُؤًا أَحَدٌ. Allah is munazzah. His tanzih is what? That he's qualitatively superior and separate from his creation. Jalla wa'ala. What did Allah Ta'ala say to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam? He said that I'm the companion of the one who remembers me. Whenever you remember me, I'm with you. So why is it then that you're not supposed to read the Quran in the bathroom? Because this is not the place for that. It's not that Allah is in some sense like unaware of what's going on over there, or that you're not his slave or you're not his servant in the bathroom. Or when your clothes are dirty, or when, and in some, and not in some sense, in an absolute sense, you're supposed to remember Allah Ta'ala even in those moments as well. This is one of the most incredible things about Islam. Islam is so incredible. Really, a faker couldn't have made it up. Can you believe there's actually dua even for doing it? I know it's not something that the Baba and Chacha are gonna like for a person to mention in the masjid. But I remember when I was in Dora Hadith, it was extremely hot, Lahore summer day. The days in Lahore used to get like 50 degrees Celsius. We don't do the Celsius system in America. It's like 127 degrees Fahrenheit or something ridiculous like that. Can you imagine 50 Celsius? It broke 50 Celsius for like, you know, the hardest season in the traditional planter's calendar, the dry summer before the monsoons come. And so, like, you know, I was like coming in and out of consciousness. The sweat was like burning my eyes, you know. And so you can't sleep at night. It's so hot. So you drift away even in class. And so I drifted away in class. And then the person who's reading the ibadat of Bukhari, you know, he all of a sudden he's reading, Bismillah, Allahumma jannib al-shaytan, jannib al-shaytan, and like my ears perked up and I'm just like, not here. Shaykh al-Hadith is right there, and Bukhari in front of me. How did this happen here? Then I realized, okay, he's reading a hadith. Let me tell you something. Whoever remembers Allah Ta'ala at that moment, that person remembers Allah Ta'ala. It's difficult to remember Allah Ta'ala always. We're commanded, وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْعَصَالِ وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ Remember your Lord inside your very being in such a way that by day and by night in such a way that's even more subtle than speech that a person says on their tongue. And never ever be heedless of him. Never be heedless of him. Means you have to be making dhikr all the time. Even while you're using the bathroom, even while all of these things. There's a dua for going to the bathroom at the end of the day, right? And even though you don't say the words of the Quran in your tongue, but something is happening inside your heart, you're still not excused from remembering Allah Ta'ala during those times. You're not even excused from remembering Allah Ta'ala. Never heedless of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, right? But that being said, even though that's a reality, and we affirm that reality, but if you're looking for the fail, don't look for it in those times and places. Where do you look for it? In the house of Allah Ta'ala. Where do you look for it? You're going to Hajj, you go to the Baladullah al-Haram, you go to Medina Munawwara. It's more inside the masjid than it is outside of the masjid. It's more بَيْنَ لَا بَتَيْهَا حَرَمٌ More inside the haram than it is outside of the haram. It's more inside the mawaqit than it is outside the mawaqit. When you go and keep the company of pious people, why كُونُ مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ Why? Because those are mubarak places. When you go and sit in the presence of the Ahlullah, that place becomes mubarak because of people as well. Mawlana Ahmad Ali Lahori rahimahullah ta'ala, they say that when wherever his cart used to pass by, you know, it would affect people. People had no idea who he is. But he would pass by them and they would never forget it. It would change their life, and then they would ask years later, oh, this guy, I saw him that one day that I started praying or whatever. And who is he? And they'll say, this is who he is. How does a person generate that hal inside of him? MashaAllah, there are some people, mashallah, that they project the hal out of them. It's like contagious. Mawlana Rumi rahimahullah ta'ala, harche girad. Illati illat shabad, kufr girad millati millat shabad. Just like everything that a sick person who has a contagious illness touches becomes sick. Just like that, a person can cultivate such a state of iman inside of them that they even touch kufr, and when they touch it, that kufr becomes part of this millah. This is the thing. I'm not there yet. If you are, please make dua for me. There's a lot of journey beyond what we've talked about so far. This is just the beginning of it. We're just here to sit and imagine it right now and ask Allah for help, and Allah will give from His fadl one day. What is the makan that's mubarak? It can be personal for you as well, just like the uqat, right? Something is haram sharif, that's like for everybody mubarak. What is a mubarak place for you as well? The place that you did a good deed. And what's a place stripped of that barakah? The place that you committed a sin. Obviously, these things are not qawati' of deen, so you can let it go in one ear and out the other if you don't find it reasonable or if you don't want to agree with it. But people share their spiritual experiences. If there's some benefit from it, inshallah, I think there's nothing wrong with taking the benefit. There was one of the great mashayikh from Morocco, Sidi Abdul Aziz al-Dabbaf. He wrote his book on Ibriz, which is a very interesting book, and I don't recommend really everybody reads it, but at any rate, he talks about his mukashafat, the things that he saw and the things that he experienced, his dreams and things like that. He's a very pious man. So one of the things he said that I would see wherever a person commits a good deed, I would see like a thread of light connect that place to Jannah. So a person prays in a place again and again, a person makes sajda and a prayer again and again, reads the Quran in a place again and again, says the tasbihat and says la ilaha illallah in a place again and again, then that place gets lit up. The angels love it. It looks beautiful to them. Just like you go to like something lit up, like, you know, like the mall at Christmas time. Of course, we don't celebrate Christmas. But you have to be like, look, they really did a good job decorating it. It's zinatul hayat al-dunya, but this is the opposite. This is the zina of what? This is the zina of like of the ahlullah. It becomes beautiful to them because of how many good deeds a person does. And those places become mubarak for you as well. And he said, also then I saw that wherever a person commits a sin, there's a black thread that connects that place to Jahannam. And then when so many of those threads come, then the angels don't even go to those places. It's like it bars them from entry. And then what happens, those are the places where the shayateen have refuge from the angels. Otherwise, light and darkness don't come together in one place. Wherever the light comes, the darkness doesn't have any ability to exist in those places. And he said, I saw that those black threads can be cut through what? Through tawbah. A person makes tawbah, it will be cut. You can remove. This is the thing about the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. This is why haq and batil are not engaged in an eternal battle that's equal. There's no competition whatsoever. You did a 100 years of sin, make tawbah in one moment, all of it's gone. All of it gets swept away. Like a flood, like a torrent. Nothing can resist it. You do your acts of piety in a place, that place becomes munawwar. Just like the angels cannot come, it's a refuge for the shayateen where the blackness of a person's sins has concentrated. Just like that, where the light of a person's good deeds have concentrated, those places the shayateen can't come. It burns them. They can't come. They can't come anywhere near those places. The only shaitan that can come in that place is you when you carry your own nafs with you. And nafs can do a lot of damage, but at any rate, a person has some control over it. A person has the ability to have some control over it. So this is some discussion about the zaman. About the makan. Think about which place is a mubarak place. If you want to seek, it's those moments of jazb, those opportunities for jazb and for the hal to come down, for the faith to come down. Where can you seek it? And then finally is what? It's the ikhwan, that you should have good company. Be very careful who you keep company with. We right now, Islam in this era, for a number of reasons that we don't have time to discuss right now, has become the cult of da'wah. What do I mean by the cult of da'wah? Obviously everyone should make da'wah. We should call other Muslims to Islam. We should call non-Muslims to Islam. We should always present Islam in the best way possible. You know, idfa' billati hiya ahsan, mu'adha hasana, etc. All of that stuff. That's great. But what do I mean when I say cult of da'wah? Now what happens, we become so sensitive to other people's feelings, so sensitive, that we have this fake imagination in our heads that there's some type of akhlaq that you can have that are so amazing that no one will ever be angry at you. Who had better akhlaq than the Prophet ﷺ? Anyone want to raise their hand? But even then, the Prophet ﷺ, some of the things that he did drove people, quote-unquote, away from Islam. That's the way Allah Ta'ala made the universe. So be careful. Now that I've lifted the burden from you, that you're not the fault that people leave Islam and people leave the masjid and whatever. Obviously, don't be an idiot. Don't be a jerk. Don't, you know, make Islam horrible for people. Try your best. But you're going to make some mistakes, and other people are also, you know, going to themselves have some portion of the fault for not accepting the message. I've relieved the burden from you, that you now are only burdened to be responsible for what you can do and for fixing the mistakes that you made. You're not responsible to be perfect all the time, and you're not responsible that everyone should be guided because your akhlaq have to be that wonderful. Now that that burden has been lifted, it's your job to also cultivate the company of good people. Don't keep the company of people who are heedless of Allah Ta'ala so much that you also become heedless. Part of it means like, yes, okay, don't hang out with crack addicts. Don't hang out with drunkards. Don't hang out with people committing zina. You know, restrict yourself to people who only accept two genders and your own gender, or like a mahram or spouse of the opposite gender. But even beyond that, there are people who are Muslims, and it's permissible for you to talk to them, and it's permissible for you to hang out with them. But the state that they have is so filled with the heedlessness of Allah Ta'ala, so filled with the ghafla of Allah Ta'ala, so filled with the love of the dunya, that the evilness of that state, and it is an evil state. I can say it's an evil state without saying that the person is an evil person. But the state is an evil state. A person may have a broken leg, but the rest of them is okay. But that doesn't mean that you're going to want to, you know, say here, like, hold this, like, you know, really expensive thing for me. Because what? They're likely more likely to drop it than a person who's possessed of their full strength. And what you're giving them to carry is not like a computer or a phone or a laptop or whatever. What are you giving the person who to carry that you keep company with? It's your deen. Didn't the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Al-mar'u ala deen khalilihi? That a person is, you know, on the deen of the ones that he loves. So be careful. Be careful who you spend time with. People who are completely heedless, even if they're your relatives, even if they're your very close relatives and loved ones. If this heedlessness pervades them and they show no desire or want or attempt even to purge it from their hearts, don't say you're a kafir. Don't say Shaykh said you're one of the ghafilin, so I hate you now. Don't say any of these things. You don't have to tell everyone everything. That level of sincerity, only Allah Ta'ala should have it. You should never have that level of sincerity with any other human being. Don't be a papu and tell mumi-dudi everything. There's some things they don't need to know. There's some things they should know, but there are a lot of things also that they don't need to know. For the sake of the Lord, don't tell your wife everything. But Sheikh, I was telling the truth. Especially when it's true. If you want to stay married, then stay happy. Don't tell your wife everything. It's a very selfish act to tell all the truth to someone all the time. Nobody can handle that burden. The only one who can handle that is Allah Ta'ala. So instead of like throwing it in someone's face and be like, oh look, you know, ghafilin, you know, and I'm out. Throw up the deuces, I'm out of here. No, you don't have to say anything to them. But keep company, cultivate the company of the people who have the state of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with them. Why? Because that is the third ingredient that's necessary for the hal to come down. If the only person you know is like whatever, Shaykh Fulan, and he has like already like the whole masjid is trying to like keep his company, then don't expect that you're going to go and be like best buddies with him. And like, you know, like, oh, Shaykh said I have to keep the hal of the righteous, so like, let's hang out on Saturday. He doesn't have time to hang out with you on Saturday. But company with somebody in a spiritual sense is very different than company with somebody in a kind of a more normal social sense. I'm not talking about social company. You know, you can keep company with whoever you want. Someone's like, you can keep company you can keep company with Imam Bukhari. How? Read Sahih Bukhari, you're keeping company with them. You read their books, you keep company with them. You want to keep company with Imam Ghazali, read his books. Someone says, I don't know Arabic, read the translation, the company, the effect of the company will be diluted. But the company is so strong that even through the dilution, through the barrier, the hijab of the translation, still some light will get through. Just watch. What does that mean for the one who wants to keep the company of the Prophet ﷺ? How do you keep company of the Prophet ﷺ? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Even better than Imam Ghazali. As wonderful as Imam Ghazali's company would be. Can you imagine how amazing that would be? Imam Abu Hanifa, the great mashayikh, mashallah, how amazing it would be to keep their company. But even better than that, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barak ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. That not only do you keep his company because you remembered him, more importantly than that, he remembered you back. You said, Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaika ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wa alaikum assalam to you. Whose salam is worth more? Your salam to him or his salam back to you? His salam back to you. And he'll remember you. You may even be heedless, but he'll remember you on the day of judgment. The person who gives the most salat and salam to the Prophet ﷺ, he'll be like, yeah, you're the guy sitting in Toronto while the whole rest of the neighborhood was waving rainbow flags and talking about like imaginary genders. But you were the one who was sending salat and salam on me. And who remembers you even more, even better than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah. This is a separate benefit, is that he returns your salam. It's a separate benefit that Allah Ta'ala sends blessings on you 10 times at the bare minimum for every time you invoke blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes you'll be in a situation like that. As we go further and further toward the end of time, it will become more frequent where you'll be the only person who have no good company. Imagine you have a wife, you have kids, you have bills to pay. You know, Toronto, you don't have, the only place you can get a job is in like somewhere in Yukon or whatever. You're not going to say, oh, you know, like let's hang out with the Moanas tonight, because there's polar bears, you know. There's like a musk ox and like a like winter hares and things like that up there, and like a lot of snow and ice. If you find yourself in a situation like that, then what? Your good company is what? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. If you find out tomorrow every sheikh you knew was a complete fraud. So this Hamza, he's actually a crack dealer. He got busted. On that day, you can be disappointed in me, but you're not alone. You're not without hope, as long as you have Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. But I can't play PlayStation with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can't talk about the weather. We can't talk about cryptocurrency. That's not what this is about. That company is something else. You have to develop some sort of spiritual sensitivity to understand what the benefit of that thing is. You'll feel it eventually, but the thing is, you have to develop it a little bit. That's the whole point of this talk, is that how to find that faith that you'll feel it. Once you feel it, what will happen? The recitation of the Quran is very liable to be much sweeter than you. Everyone has a different aptitude, by the way. Some people, their jazb is like, just the small, slightest thing will overwhelm them. Some people, in a lifetime of obedience, and they'll just taste a very small amount of this. Allah Ta'ala created everybody differently for a different hikmah. Imagine that. Two people on the Day of Judgment, one of them was majzub from the day that they had opened their eyes to the day that they died. And another person felt very little bit of the jazb, very little bit of the hal. But they both did the same amount of deeds. Which of the two of them is more worthy of reward from Allah? The one who had less jazb. Why? Because they did what they needed to do with less enticement. But this doesn't mean, again, that you should not cultivate it. It's a tool. There are many tools in your journey toward Allah Ta'ala. One tool is your aqal, one tool is your learning. These are all tools in your journey toward Allah Ta'ala. But these are the three things. Now I want you to wrap up this talk, which has already gone on too long. I want you to think about it, right? What were the three things that I said are the conditions for the hal to come down? It still only comes down by Allah's grace. You don't make it happen. You just prepare for it. But Allah Ta'ala, you know, is generous. He doesn't like leave you high and dry. Usually the bigger barrier is the lack of preparation rather than Allah Ta'ala not giving. Because He gives to everyone who asks. Black, white, Arab, non-Arab, rich, poor, old, young, pious, impious. He gives to everybody. So all three of these conditions, the zaman, the makan, the ikhwan, right? Are they not here in this place right now? That you're in the house of Allah Ta'ala on the 27th night, the khatam night of Ramadan, surrounded by other people who looked for this, that are not there to sleep. If someone was only here for the kulfi ran out an hour ago. Maybe there's some stragglers who will leave after the ban when they realize, they're like, oh dang, no more kulfi, I'm out. But then what will happen? The ikhwan it's the right crew, it's the right time, it's the right place. So not only spend the night in worship, but enjoy it. Allow yourself to feel that faith and allow yourself to let that hal come down. I myself am the first guy who likes to chit-chat with people, and I'm the first guy who likes to joke, and who's the first guy who likes to have a good time and eat and drink things and all of that. But the thing that you should want to eat and drink in this night is what? The zikr of Allah Ta'ala. You should want to enjoy its sweetness, inshallah. So when some hafiz stands up to read more Quran or to read some qiyam, or if there's a corner that's a little bit secluded and you want to read some more Quran, or if there's a corner that's secluded, you want to make the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. If there's a corner that's secluded that you want to close your eyes and your ears and just let the open the tap, the faucet inside of your heart, and just start asking Allah Ta'ala for the things that you want and the things that you need. Then do that. This is the time for it, and enjoy it, inshallah, and feel that enjoyment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us from his fuyud and from his barakat and from his rahmat, from his fadl in this Mubarak night and the Mubarak moments and days and nights of our life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the best part of our life what's in front of us, and make Allah ta'ala make the best days, and our best moments our last moments, and our best words our last words. And make them la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and accept it from us, and give us a death better than our life, and give us a time in the grave better than our death, and give us a resurrection better than our time in the grave, and give us a gathering better than our resurrection, and give us to drink from the hold of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shurbatan hani'atan mari'atan la yadhma'u ba'dahu abadan, a drink that is cooler than ice and sweeter than honey and whiter than milk and more fragrant than musk, such a drink that the one who drinks from it will never thirst again. May Allah ta'ala give us an accounting better than our gathering. May Allah ta'ala excuse us our sins and not even ask us about them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order the angels to give us our book of deeds in the right hand. And may Allah ta'ala order the angels to escort us with gentleness and with love across the sirat. May we cross the sirat like lightning. May Allah ta'ala make us from amongst those who are allowed to enter Jannah forever and ever and have a maqam in Jannah forever and ever from any and be called from any and all of the 8 gates that we can enter from any of them that we desire. Allah Ta'ala give us all of those things, not because of our deeds or because of who we are, but because He's the one who said, ask and I'll give, because He's Allah Ta'ala akramul akramin and arhamur rahimin. May Allah Ta'ala give us all of those things because of who He is, not because of who we are. May Allah Ta'ala give all of those things to our parents and to our ancestors in Iman. May Allah Ta'ala give all those things to our mashayikh and their mashayikh, all the way in the noble silsila, to the connecting us to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Ta'ala give it to our children and our progeny until the day of judgment, and to our students and their students and their students until the day of judgment. May Allah Ta'ala protect Iman in them no matter what ups and downs happen. May Allah Ta'ala not allow any of them to die except for with Iman inside of their heart. Ya Allah, if you decree that Iman should end, then let it end with them, and let not us, any of us see any of them live in the hellfire forever and ever, completely separated and disconnected from your fadl, Ya Allah. Ya Allah Ta'ala, make all of these things, give all of these things for all of those people that we loved for your sake, and give all of these things for all of those people who loved us for your sake. Ya Allah, give all of these things to everybody who helped us along our way and our path to you, whether it's somebody who taught us La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, or whether it's someone who even gave us a ride to a masjid. We completely forgot that it even happened. We forgot their name, we forgot the time, we forgot the place. Whether it was a person who even just gave us a word of encouragement that carried us a little bit further along our journey toward you. May Allah give all of these things to all of the people who are serving the deen. Give all of these things in full measure and in orders of magnitude to the ulama and to the mujahideen in your path, Ya Allah. Give all of these things to all of the people who believed in you from the time of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam until the last person who says Allah, Allah leaves from this world. Ya Allah, give all of these things to all of them, Ya Allah. Whatever we should ask for, but we can't think to ask for it right now, Ya Allah, give it to us. And whatever we shouldn't have said or shouldn't have asked for, forgive us for it and give us from your knowledge. You choose for us, your choice for us is better for us and more beloved to us than our choice for ourselves. Sallallahu ta'ala ala rasulihi Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ya Allah, you gave us this Mubarak night that we live to see it. Give us tawfiq now in the last couple of minutes and hours that are left in this night, that we should do something that makes you happy with us. And we're not able to do it, so you make it happen, Ya Allah Ta'ala. You give us those couple of words, those couple of deeds, because of which you become happy with us, Ya Allah. And this moment, this is a beautiful night. This is a night that's dear to us and beloved to us in the same intensity that our own wedding nights would be dear and beloved to us, even though it's different than that. But in intensity, it's even more intense in some ways. Ya Allah, no matter how messed up we are, we love you, and we ask that you love us as well. And that we said that there's no God except for you, and that you are our Rabb. So we ask that in this Mubarak night, you also say to us forever that you're also my slave. And that you put that seal on us, and that seal stays with us until the day we die and the day we meet you, Ya Allah. Wa sallallahu tabarak wa ta'ala wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursalin, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna wa waffiqna, barakatul fatiha.